Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As you take your seats, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. God has been good to us, and He is faithful. Psalms 23 is where we'll find our scripture text for this morning. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. So I'm going to ask that once you have it, we're going to read this scripture together. Psalms 23. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read it together. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can we clap our hands for the word this morning? Most of us are very familiar with that passage of scripture. If you spent just a half a minute in Sunday school as a child, this was probably the first memory verse you were asked to remember. And when I said Psalms 23, this passage of scripture is so familiar to us that some of y'all didn't even open up your Bibles. You just quoted it verbatim. Pastor, I know this one. I know it verbatim. I noticed that. I was watching. We have gone to Christmas programs and Easter programs, and we have heard little children quote this scripture, and it gives us joy. And as a parent, you're proud the first time your child can stand up in front of the church and quote all six verses of Psalms 23. And so we've heard this scripture text over and over again. But I want to caution us this morning not to minimize the significance of this text just because we've heard it since we were little children. I want to caution us that we don't disregard this text and say in our minds, I already know this scripture and I'm just going to check out for the next 20 minutes because there's nothing new that he's going to say to me about Psalms 23. I want to caution you against that for my sake this morning. Let's realize that this text should not be put in some cute little box with a bow on it and set up on a table and cabinet, and we just pull it out from time to time to look at it. But Psalms 23 is a masterpiece of biblical literature. This text is one of the most significant writings in the history of mankind. This text here, if read and understood, is an anchor for the soul. If you can really grasp an understanding of what this text means, there is nothing that you can go through in your life that you won't be able to go through with the victory if you have this text as the anchor of your soul. Look at how this text is used. Children who have problems sleeping at night because they are afraid of the dark. You can read this text to them, and it will give them comfort and allow them to get some rest. The sick and the suffering can read this text and find comfort in their suffering. This text is so powerful that you can stand by the graveside of your loved one and hear, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And this same text will give the comfort to the grieving. If you are afraid of anything or anybody, this text will calm your fears. And if you are alone and feels like that there's nobody else there for you, this text will let you know that you have a companion. You have an everlasting companion. Can I say it again? This text is a masterpiece of biblical literature. What other texts can be used at baby showers, weddings, birthdays, funerals, anniversaries, retirement parties? How many of y'all, I've gotten this text on a birthday card. When I got married, I got this text on a card. When I got married, pastor's anniversary, you get this. If you're sick in the hospital, every season in life, somebody reminds us of Psalms 23. May I add to this that there are basically two scriptures that you absolutely have to know if you're going to have a strong relationship with God. Two of them that you absolutely have to know and understand. The first one is Psalms 23. The second one is John 3:16. And I bet all of us know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son," come on, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you know Psalms 23 and you know John 3:16, there is nothing that you can't handle in your life. These texts are so important. That's why we teach it to children when they are young. We want you to know very early that you have a shepherd. There's somebody who's caring for you and protecting you. And we want you to know that he loved you so much that he gave his only son to die on the cross, so that when you believe in him, you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we want you to know that when you're 3. We want to remind you of it when you're 6, when you get 16, when you get 36. Can I tell you, the older you get, the more you need to be reminded of Psalms 23 and John 3:16. If you have to quote anything, quote that. Psalms 23. David reveals to us that God is our shepherd, our healer, our protector, our provider, and our companion. Now, this is significant because Psalms 23 is a divine utterance of an ordained king who sought refuge in the arms of the everlasting God in his time of trouble. It is significant because this ordained king was not perfect. He had trouble and difficulty in his life, but he discovered something that blew his mind. He discovered that in every season of life, God will be your shepherd, your protector, your provider, your healer, and your everlasting companion. And listen, if we don't have anything else to praise God for, we can praise him because he's our shepherd, our protector, our provider, our healer, and our everlasting companion. Can we praise God just for that? When we look at this text, time will not permit me to go through all of the verses in Psalms 23, although I would like to do that, but I suspect if I did that, we would be here to about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I'll probably be by myself by the time I finish it. So for the sake of time, I just want to focus on verse 1. Let's read verse 1 again. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This verse is the most significant verse in this passage of Scripture, because everything after this verse gives us the benefits of having the Lord as our shepherd. In this text, David acknowledges God as Lord and shepherd. Now, oftentimes, we skip right to the shepherd part, and we talk about what it means to have God as our shepherd. But before we get there, I want to talk about the significance of David calling God Lord. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, as Lord, God is David's master, which means God has complete authority over him. David recognized himself as a servant of the Lord. He lived to serve the Lord. Come on. He acknowledged himself as God's servant, which means he gave his life over to God. He gave his life to God and said, "God, you can do what you want to do with my life. I relinquish control over my life. I give up my right." Now let me pause for a minute. There's a difference between a servant and a slave. A slave is forced to serve his master. A slave is forced to submit, but a servant chooses to submit. Come on, somebody. The servant has a right to do what he wants to do, but he chooses to submit authority of his life over to somebody else. So David made a choice to submit his life over to the Lord. He says, "You get to choose where I go, where I go, where I live, what I do. I'm fully grown, but I give up my right to do what I want to do." Ooh, now we need to be careful that we're not living our lives as if we have no Lord. We need to be careful, believer, child of God. We need to be careful that we are not living our life as if we have no master, that we can do what we want to do, say what we want to say, and go where we want to go. My brothers and my sisters, let me remind you, we have a Lord. We have a master that we have given our life over to. We have submitted our authority over to him. The Bible says, "Know you not that you are not your own? You have been bought with a price." The Bible says that God purchased us with his own blood. He didn't accept the blood of a lamb, the blood of a bullock, or a dove. No, you were so valuable that God used his own blood to purchase you. You are not your own. We have a Lord. So listen, David was a king, but he had a Lord. David had lords that were subject to him, but he had a Lord that he was subject to. Can I talk to the young folks for a minute? All of y'all who are eager to get out the house because you don't want somebody to tell you what to do. You want to do your own thing. Can I tell y'all something? As long as you are alive, there will be somebody telling you what to do. Oh, come on, that's going to help you. You go to that job, your boss going to tell you what to do. You get married, your wife is going to, never mind. I just went off on a tangent. Let me stay back to the text. Come on. I'm just saying. David's Lord was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His Lord had authority over all lords. And David says, that Lord, the Lord who is over all lords, he is my shepherd. The Lord who doesn't submit to another Lord, that's my shepherd. The Lord that doesn't submit to another king because he is the King of Kings. He sets up kings and takes down another one. That is who, you know what? It's good to report to the person who doesn't report to anybody. Oh, somebody. Come on, somebody. Sometimes don't y'all go in the store? How many of y'all ask for the manager every once in a while? Okay, that's me. I had a rough day at Walmart the other day. Sometimes you got to ask for the person who has supreme authority. And David said, that is the one who is my shepherd. He doesn't have to ask anybody about how to take care of me. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. So David identifies God as Lord and shepherd. Now, a shepherd is a tender, loving, caring leader that provides and protects. That's the trademark of a shepherd. A shepherd is tenderhearted, loves the sheep, cares for the sheep, and takes on the responsibility of providing for and protecting the sheep. And notice what David said. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. It's personal for David. It is one thing for the Lord to be your shepherd or your mother's shepherd or your friend's shepherd. But it's a totally different thing when you can live your life in confidence saying that the Lord is my shepherd. He's not distant. We have a loving and personal relationship. He is my shepherd. I don't know who your shepherd is. I don't know who is protecting you and providing for you. But for me, the Lord is my shepherd. Understand that this is significant to David because before David was a king, he was a shepherd. And so he knew the responsibilities of a shepherd. And when he looked at his life, when he considered how God takes care of him, it reminded David of how he takes care of sheep. He didn't just pull this out of the air. He, as a shepherd, he fought a lion and bear and protected his sheep. And when he thought about how God provided for him and protected him, it reminded him of how he is to his sheep. And so he says, wait a minute, I'm a shepherd, but I can't shepherd myself. The Lord is my shepherd. Oftentimes, we relate to God out of our own experiences. And so when David talks about God being his shepherd, he's thinking about his own experience. And so I thought about all of the different careers that one could have and what those careers teach us about God. So I thought about if I was a custodian, someone who cleans, I may say that God is good at getting the dirt out of the secret place of your life and clean you up and make you look like you were never dirty at all. If I was a garbage man, I might say that God is good at coming by your house and picking up the junk out of your life and pulling the junk away. If I was a bus driver, I would say that God is good at picking you up, turning you around, and making sure you get to where you need to be. A physician would say God is a chief resident. He knows how to handle the tough cases. He is a healer. A psychologist may say that God is a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Teachers may say he'll give you instruction. He'll let you know what you need to know. Whatever it is that you are experiencing, you ought to ask yourself, how does this teach me who God is and what he is and how he is? I got some good news for you this morning, that the things that you are going through, instead of you asking yourself or asking God, God, why me? Why do I have to go through this? You should ask yourself, God, what are you teaching me about who you are and how you are? Come on, somebody. Because there's a lesson in it. Hallelujah. When he allows your family to walk out on you, he's teaching you that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So you can sing with us and say, I am a friend of God. When you're left with nothing and he comes in and makes a way out of no way, he allows that so you can sing with us, way maker, miracle worker. That's who you are. He's teaching us who he is and how he is. Psalms 23 is masterful because it connects the Old Testament with the New Testament. David identifies God as his shepherd. The first people who heard the announcement of Christ's birth were shepherds. When we look at Christ, the Bible says in John that he is the good shepherd. In Hebrews, he is referred to as the great shepherd. In Peter, he is referred to as the chief shepherd. So we have this connection between Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, to Christ who comes and says, I am the good shepherd. What makes you the good shepherd? He says, because I laid down my life for the sheep. Oh, you had a shepherd before, but you haven't had a good shepherd. He's not just a good shepherd, but he's a great shepherd. Not only is he a great shepherd, but he is the chief shepherd, which means there is no better shepherd than him. Listen, he is such the great shepherd that if the Lord is not your shepherd, you have no shepherd at all. He is so proficient at being the shepherd that every other shepherd loses their right to call themselves a shepherd. If you don't, I'm trying to help somebody. If the Lord is not your shepherd, you have no shepherd at all. It's dangerous to live this life without a shepherd. Matthew 9:36, Jesus looks at the crowd of people, and the Bible says he looks at them and he has compassion on them because they are weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looked at the state of humanity, and his heart was filled with compassion. People called them rebellious. People called them evil. But Jesus called them weak and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. No, no, he says, they don't have direction. They don't have a protector. They don't have a leader. They don't have a guider. That's why they are scattered all over the place. One of the primary responsibilities of a shepherd is to lead his sheep, is to provide guidance for his sheep. The people in Matthew had no shepherd. So they were scattered. They were all over the place. They had no direction. They had no shepherd. They had no guidance. They didn't know who they were or where they were going. A shepherd provides guidance to his sheep. Now, verse number 2, he said, he leads me beside still waters. One of the ways that shepherds lead their sheep is that they send, if the sheep are going in one direction and the shepherd wants them to go in another direction, the shepherds will send their dogs to chase the sheep out of the place they shouldn't be into the place they should be, because sheep are afraid of dogs. So when the dog chases the sheep run in the direction that the dog is chasing them. Why is it that way? Number one, sheep are not good at following instructions. They don't. Dogs know how to take commands. Come, sit, stay, fetch, attack. And so we celebrate the sheep, and the dogs say, I might be a dog, but at least I know how to follow instructions. So the shepherd can tell the dog what to do, and the dog will chase the sheep, and the sheep think they're running away from the dog, but what they're actually doing is running in the direction that the shepherd is leading them. Oh man, it's scary because I'm being chased by a dog and I'm trying to figure out why this dog is chasing me. But in actuality, I am being led in the direction that I'm supposed to go. This is not for everybody. This is just for somebody. The Lord would have you to know that some of the things that you have gone through happen because you were going in the wrong direction. So he released some dogs to chase you out of the place that you shouldn't have been and direct you in the place that you should be. Oh, come on. I need some bold praisers in the room that will praise God for every dog he sent to chase you out of a place that you shouldn't have been. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir. I thank him for every pit bull that he sent my way that took me out of a place that I shouldn't have been because I was too dumb to follow instructions. I knew I shouldn't have been there and I wouldn't have left, but he sent a dog to chase me out of a place I should not have been. Glory to God. And you thought it was the devil. No. But here's the good thing. The dog recognized his master. And the moment the master said enough, the dog stopped and retreated. Come on, somebody. I got some good news to you. That even when it looks like hellhounds are on your track, every hellhound has a master. Come on, somebody. I got to move on. But God leads us in ways we don't understand. Can I tell the truth? There's some situations I would still be in today if it was not for the fact that God made me so uncomfortable I couldn't stay there anymore. There's some places I would be today, and the only reason I'm not there now because I got tired of that dog biting my arm and biting my leg. I don't know about you, but I'm stubborn like a sheep. I want to do what I want to do. And the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. I got to move on. So David identified God here as Lord and Shepherd. We're almost due here, but I want to make this point to you that God will not be your shepherd unless he is first your Lord. Hear what I'm saying. God will not be your shepherd unless he is first your Lord. Here's what our problem is. We want God as protector and provider, but not master. Mm-mm. God, give me everything that I need for my life. Protect my life, but don't tell me how to live my life. Oh, come on, somebody. God, when I call on you, you answer me. But when you call on me, I'll get to you when I can. Come on, somebody. No. That's not how this works. The only reason that David could end verse 1 with I shall not want is because he was confident that God was both his Lord and shepherd. He was confident that he was his Lord, so he had authority over him. He was confident that he was his shepherd, so he had full responsibility for his well-being. A shepherd is solely responsible for the well-being of his sheep. So he could say, I shall not want, because I have given my life over to God, and God has taken responsibility for my life. And David went on to say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He said, with confidence, I shall not want. All of my needs are met, not because of who I am, but because of who my shepherd is. Listen, David was king over a prosperous kingdom. As a king, he had access to anything that he wanted. But he didn't say, because I am a king, I shall not want. He didn't say that because my kingdom is prosperous, I shall not want. He says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can I tell somebody today that you are not taken care of because of your job? It is not your job that is taking care of you. It is the Lord who is taking care of you. It's not your network or your net worth that is taking care of you. It is the Lord that's taking care of us. My needs are met not because I went to school, not because I made good investments, not because I have a good job, not because I follow the law, but all my needs are met because I have a shepherd, and my shepherd is the Lord. Oh, I may look like I'm out in this field by myself, but trust me, my shepherd always has his eye on me. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. Why? Not because there's no evil there, but because the Lord is with me. Lord, have mercy. I don't have to fear because he's with me. I want to encourage you today as you stand to your feet that you make God Lord and shepherd. I want you to revision yourself as a servant of the Lord, that you live to serve him. God makes promises to people who live to serve him. Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." Oh, he wants to be Lord. He wants complete authority and control over your life. Oh, but it comes with benefits. Y'all know we get jobs. Sometimes you don't get job based upon the salary. You get the job based upon the benefits. The way our economy now, sometimes we just need to work for the benefits. Come on, healthcare. Huh? But when you do that, you have to submit hours to that place. You have to submit your intellectual capital and your energy to that place. But what you get in return makes it worth it. Here is the thing. Some of us have forgotten that serving the Lord comes with benefits. Listen, if you are your own master, the only thing you get is what you can get for yourself, which I promise you, it's not much. And if you can get it, it's temporary. But when the Lord is your master, he has an endless supply. He never runs out of anything. And if he runs out of it, he just makes some more. Listen, let's read verses 2 through 6 again. He said, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. When I get sick, when I get weak, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." What are you doing with me? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And yes, I'm surrounded by enemies, but thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You make my enemies have to watch. You feed me. You don't feed me in the dark. You make them watch. You prepare a table before. I'm not hiding in front of my enemy, but right, oh Lord, I didn't want to go here, but right, stop hiding from your enemies. He is making a table. Listen, the people who are attacking you now are the same people who are going, God's going to make them sit there and watch you feast from the table that he prepares for you. Listen, ain't, if you talk about me openly, you better get ready to watch me eat openly. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Then he says, "You anoint my head with oil." I'm anointed with the oil. It's cleansing oil. It's protecting oil. It's healing oil. The Bible says, if there be any sick among you, call for the elders. Anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Here, anoint my head with oil. But not only that, but my cup runs over. When you serve God, he'll give you a cup that overflows. Come on, somebody. When you serve God, the cup isn't half empty or half full. It is overflowing. Hallelujah. That's what you get. Then he says, "Surely, with confidence, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Remember, I talked about theological twins. Here they are. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of my life. You know what that means? You can't outlive goodness and mercy. Come on, somebody. It's going to follow you all the days of my life. But that's not it. When I die, when my life is over, does that end the companionship with God? No. He says, and, now, goodness and mercy all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, yes, sir. Hallelujah. Forever. Forever I will be in the house of the Lord. That's my destiny. Come on. What I have down here is goodness and mercy. And then when I'm done down here, that's not the end of the benefits. You know, when you die, your benefits die with you. But when the Lord is your shepherd, even when you die, your benefits continue. You shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I got somewhere to go when I leave here. If nothing ever changes, if I have to struggle and fight the whole time I'm here, I got two guarantees, goodness and mercy. And when goodness and mercy is done with me, I'll spend eternity in the house of the Lord. When the Lord is your shepherd, you have a healer, a protector, a provider, and an everlasting companion. You are never, ever, ever alone. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I'm with you. I want to pray in a minute, but I want to say it is sad. It should grieve our hearts to look at people who are living life without the Lord as their shepherd. We should be like Jesus. When we see that, we shouldn't look at them in judgment and condemnation. And what's wrong with those evil people? And they trifling. They need to get themselves together. That don't make no sense. Ain't no good in them at all. That's not what Jesus saw when he saw them. The Bible says he was moved with compassion. Oh, I don't want to stay here too long, but there's a difference between feeling sorry for people and being moved with compassion. Because you can feel sorry for somebody and not do anything about their situation. The Bible didn't say he felt sorry for them. He said he was moved with compassion. That means he was moved to do something. You know, the reason he came was to die in their place so that one day they could say, like David, the Lord is my shepherd. We ought to be moved with compassion. We ought to be burdened by what we see in our community and move to the point that we decide we've got to do something about what we see. And you know what you can do in your own way? You can say, listen, the Lord's my shepherd. Let me introduce you to my shepherd. And if your shepherd is better at taking care of you than my shepherd is, then you keep your shepherd. But if you want a shepherd that doesn't just take care of you here on earth, but can take you through the corridors of heaven, through the third heaven, and be with you forever, that's the Lord. There's only one. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus is standing at the door of our hearts and there in our community says, let me be your shepherd. But I got to be your Lord. I'm not going to provide for you, protect you, and then don't have the right to tell you what to do with the life that I'm protecting and providing for. Come on, somebody. Jesus says, I want to be your Lord, but I also want to be your shepherd. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for reminding us of the precious jewels found in this text. So many times we've heard it, God, but I thank you today that you have forced us to consider the significance of you being both Lord and Shepherd. God, I pray today that you would help us not to live our lives as if we have no Lord. Help us not to live our lives as if we have full control over what we do, where we go, and how we live. But God, help us to re-envision ourselves as your servant, living for you, available to you, our hearts, our minds, our soul, with everything, God. We give it over to you today, God. Somebody in this moment right now is recommitting themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God, we don't say Jesus is Lord with our mouth and then live as if we have no Lord, but we say Jesus is Lord because, Jesus, we've given you complete authority over our life. Do with us what you want to do. We are available to you. We live to serve you, not in word, but in deed, God. And I know that as we do that, you are our shepherd. We thank you, God, for healing us. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for providing for us. And we thank you for sticking with us. When things got tough, you stayed. When people walked out, you stayed. Hallelujah. And we thank you that you are the God that stays. Now, God, I pray that you would give us compassion, that we too will be moved with compassion. That when we look at people who are living life without direction and without order, that we won't put a bad word on them, but we will say, no, what they need is a shepherd. Lord, let them find a shepherd, God, that will lead them and guide them into all truth. And give us the boldness to open up our mouths and say, we have found the good and great and chief shepherd, and he is Christ the Lord. Give us boldness to do that. We turn ourselves over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus in this place today?